Tonight we are doing an interview with Pastor Jeff and Carla, and my lovely wife Daisy is going to be helping tonight, so I want to invite them to come on up, and would you give a warm welcome to our senior pastors.
I was going to let Melanie at this big, thick head of hair of mine, but not after the Laker comments, so forget it. Sure, she'd have had just a blast trying to conquer this head of hair, Mike.
Well, you know, but your shirts make up for it, because you've got some really cool shirts, so I just have to say that. But anyway, so I thought we'd start off tonight by a little audience participation. Now, how many people, just by an upraised hand, would say that you can either relate because you've personally gone through something like that, or you can empathize with them, but they have just moved from Gilbert, Arizona, and where they've been for nearly 18 years, and they've relocated their entire family, and you say, you know what, I understand that you're probably going through a lot of transition woes. Would you just raise your hand if you can kind of understand that? So what I'd like to do is encourage a little bit of audience heckling tonight, and a little bit of audience participation, and I've made up a little list of dessert places that everyone who lives in Springfield ought to go to. Now, and Daisy and I were watching Cupcake Wars the other night. Can tell who wins most of the battles in our house. Cupcake Wars, the Food Network channel. Anyway, and I noticed that Daisy and I were watching this, and we were like, we have to share this mic, sorry. And the coffee shop in Gilbert, Arizona won Cupcake Wars. Are you guys familiar with this place called The Coffee Shop?
I am very sorry to say I have never been there. You
really
messaged me that, and I'm like, oh, how sad I missed it.
Oh, that's great. Well, actually, you're not missing out on anything because we have better desserts here. So I've come up with, although they won Cupcake Wars. And so I've come up with at least my list of five must-haves here in Springfield. Now, I have 1, 2, 3, 4 spaces left, and I'd like to fill up those spaces. So after I list these, and not that mine are any more important than yours, but we've just got to move things along tonight, folks. So I want you to feel free just to yell out something if I have left off some serious must-have in Springfield. First and foremost, what am I going to say? Andy's frozen custard, and I've got three words that are just going to set you free, especially when it comes to fall. Well, you can only get it in the fall. Pumpkin pie concrete. Okay? I know this sounds like a foreign language at this point, but soon, trust me, you will speak fluent custard. Concrete.
I'm not a huge fan of Andy's, don't hate me. But the other time of year that it's amazing and that I will go to Andy's is when the Girl Scout cookies come out, the thin mint concrete?
Yes.
With chocolate ice cream, with chocolate custard, though. Can you get it with chocolate custard? Yeah, that's how I get it. Okay.
Next, St. George's Donut Shop. My land. Chase, I see Chase standing in the back. Yes, thank you, Chase. Beth's Bake Shop.
Woo!
Somebody just got set free. Okay. The Mud Puddle from Mud House. Okay, I got a thumbs up in the back. Great. Fondue from Fedora Social, whatever it's called, Social Restaurant.
If it's still open.
House. Fedora, good. The dessert, the little chocolate dip, thank you. And now I have four blank spaces.
Walmart.
Oh, okay, Cookie Monster from Cheddar's.
Yeah.
Quick pen. I need a tool. Here we go. Let's get a pen going here, okay? Cookie Monster from Cheddar's. Please just shout it out.
Somebody said Walmart.
Walmart.
Curious about that.
Oh, yes. What am I doing? You have a vested interest in going to Pineapple Whip. So I'll just say that. Oh, they've been there. Okay. Pineapple. What is that? Spring Bakery. Supreme Bakery. Two more.
Gilardi's.
Oh, Marcy Woodward. Okay, here we go. Gilardi's. What? Gilardi's flourless chocolate cake.
Can you put the name of who's suggesting and a phone number? Just for follow-up purposes?
Okay, sure, sure. And one last one. From the back, please. Come, Mickey, just stand up for a second. And this will explain everything, okay? Okay, so Pastor Jeff, if you want to look like Mickey.
How many of those
Hulk,
and I look like you?
Incredible Hulk from Smoothie King. Okay.
10 or 12? All right.
Okay.
How late do they open on Wednesday night then?
Right. 9 o'clock.
Okay, we're headed there.
Go there every Wednesday. Not for the Incredible Hulk, but for the Incredible something else. Okay, and so I would like to present this to Carla because I think that everyone needs to know where these are. One more? Someone else? Okay. So let's just applaud because I feel like we need to do that right now. And, oh, Julie's Chewies. Julie's Chewies. What is a Julie's Chewies, she asked.
We That's, really don't need our... this, but thank you so much.
I
well,
need
it's,
it. It's
just
food.
To kind of make the transition a little bit better. Okay, so we'd like to start off by hearing a little bit from Carla. And so, Carla, why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself? Tell us a little bit about maybe where you grew up. And I know a little bit about your dad's legacy, what an incredible legacy he left. And maybe you would like to share that, especially for those that don't know. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about your background?
Okay, I was born in Chicago, Illinois. I lived there until I was 10, and my parents took a vacation to visit some friends that lived in Arizona in January. And Arizona in January is amazing. It's about 70 degrees with no snow, and my dad owned a filling station and was shoveling snow by the hour there. So they came to Arizona, stayed a week, and came home and said, "We are moving to Arizona." So there were six of us kids. I am the third girl, and we loaded up in our then station wagon with all eight of us and my dog and headed to Arizona. So
here's the story.
Yeah, exactly. It felt like the Bradys, but we lived there until now. So that's the long and short of it. Arizona's been home for me for many years, and I met the Lord when I was in high school through Campus Crusade for Christ, and kind of waffled through my high school years, and really solidified my commitment to Him my senior year of high school, and been serving Him ever since. And
your dad's conversion, maybe?
My dad got saved when I was in high school. Jeff shared a little bit of his testimony, and it's kind of a long story, so I'll kind of abbreviate a little bit. But he was a moving assessor for a moving company, and Tom Hinton, who was moving to Springfield to work in the national office, was his appointment, and it was a divine appointment. He got this note on his desk the night before, like at 5 o'clock, right before he went home for the day, and he just kind of crumpled it up and said, "Oh, it's too late, you know, I'll just, somebody else will deal with it, or he'll call back if it's really important." Well, when he went to work the next day, the trash was empty, but that paper was on his desk. And so he figured, oh, I might as well call and follow it up. So he went there that day, and before he left, Tom was an incredible soul winner and won my dad to the Lord. So very thankful to him. None of us knew the Lord. We were just an Italian Catholic family. And so he began to make friends with Larry Karychuk, one of the staff people at Phoenix First Assembly, who Tom connected him to, and my dad was very apprehensive about going to church, and didn't really know what that would be all about because he was raised Catholic. So, but Larry followed him up, and he just began to really dig into the Word, and it was an amazing transformation as a child or a young adult at that point to watch my dad completely transform into an incredible man of God. And in the short time that he lived following that, he was the co-founder of Master's Commission with Pastor Larry from Phoenix First. So he left our family an incredible legacy in the short time that he lived. He passed away of a massive heart attack 7 years later, but he was already licensed minister and was on staff at Phoenix First and studying to be ordained. So very grateful for that in our family. And it was just really neat to watch. Sorry. Once my family, all of the kids actually had gotten saved before my dad. So, but when he did, it was neat to watch the family dynamics of just exactly what the word says. He was the head of the house, and then his family came under that. And before that, it was a little bit of a disarray. And then when he got saved, it was just neat to watch our family just really unite together.
And I know just from a little bit of history with Master's Commission that he just had this almost obsession with scripture memorization, and that it was such a it's still an imprint in Master's Commission today when they have to memorize several hundred scriptures just in their first 9 months. So that's just an amazing legacy. So great to hear that. Last time we did an interview in here, I asked Pastor Jeff about an embarrassing moment that he had. And to my surprise, he could not come up with one in 18 years of ministry or whatever, and instead he talked about the tithe and the storehouse or a different...
I'm really sorry he shared that story.
Yeah, so anyway, but I thought since he couldn't come up with an embarrassing moment, I'd give you a shot at it about him.
There are so many. And they all normally happen when he's in the pulpit, so... Although there is one, he just kind of leaned over and said that Jim Hall is here, and he, there you are. Jim stayed with us one time when our girls were very little. Is this okay if I share the story, Jim?
It is. Just okay, go ahead. Good. It's fine. It's Jim and my embarrassing
That's
moment.
That's true.
But we became very close after
they
this
did.
Moment.
They did. Our girls were young at the time. I think our oldest was probably 4, and Michaela was 2, Jim stayed the evening. He had done ministry at the church, and Whitney had this fear of the dark, and so we always left the bathroom light on for her when she slept. Her room was right around the corner from the bathroom. So apparently Jim got up in the middle of the night to use the restroom and shut the light off, and so all of a sudden all you heard was this blood-curdling scream from our daughter, who was 4, and you know they can scream really loud and very high-pitched, and she still screams today. It's kind of great. But anyway, so Jeff jumps out of bed, runs out the door, and Jim opens up his bedroom door, and they're both standing there in their underwear looking at each other going, hi, hi. Jeff's like, did you shut the light off? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, oh, you can't shut the light off. Whitney doesn't like the dark, you know. So there they are, missionary and pastor, standing in the hallway in their underwear, and meet and greet time. So, yeah. That was one. Jeff is very competitive. Now, he will tell you, I'm not nearly as competitive anymore. See, he's still saying it now. But... We used to play Monopoly with some good friends, actually our friends that live here in Springfield, and it just got very out of hand, and so we had to agree never to play Monopoly with them again. So
no, we didn't agree. The wives instructed us we're never
true.
Playing
the
again.
Wives decided we are never playing, so he's had to apologize many times to people on the basketball court or the softball team, or so if you play sports with him, we're just telling you ahead of time, beware. He's really good, except for he gets a little carried away.
It's not true. I'm not good, and I don't get carried away. It's neither is true.
None of it's true. Well, okay, so now we know you don't play Monopoly anymore together, and you probably don't play sports against each other to keep that good. So what do you do for fun together as a couple? We asked Pastor Jeff this last time, but we want to know from you. What's just some fun stuff that you do together, maybe hobbies you enjoy together, or just... nothing else to do on a day, relax, day off. What do you all enjoy to do, doing?
Well, Jeff loves to shop, so every Friday he takes me to the mall. I don't like to shop, but I go with just because he likes to go. Just kidding. Let's see. Well, some of our most fun memories. Yeah, he does hate shopping. He's like, just bag it, get it, and let's leave. And I'm like, I have to, like, explore and see what's out there and go back to the first thing I saw most of the time. But some of our most fun times together, and this kind of will be silly for some of you, but we would do date nights when the girls would be out, and we'd been introduced to the 24 series by my daughter's in-laws, and we had never seen the series. And by this time, I think they were on maybe season two or three, maybe three or four. And so we wanted to catch up before the next season started. So on our days off, we would get takeout and we'd bring it home and we'd stick the DVD in and we'd watch two or three seasons or two or three shows at a time. And so we got a little addicted. So, but those are really fun. And we love old movies. He loves Westerns. I do not. So he loves the 60s era, which is really funny. He likes all that classic furniture from the 60s, and you're showing your age, or I'm showing your age. But anyway, so we love to watch just old movies together and go to dinner and hang out together. Just to be together is fun.
That is fun. Thank you. And this question kind of goes with the last question. Spending this time together, I'm sure, is an investment. And are there any other ways that you've invested into your marriage? And just how do you keep spiritually on track? Just because you're pastors, you're still human and normal. So how do you keep your marriage spiritually on track and just invest into your marriage?
Probably the biggest thing that we've done together is we went through, it was almost a 3-year discipleship program for our marriage, and it was weekly. Every week we would meet with the same group of people, and we would have homework every week, and it was a really great time of learning about each other and learning how to communicate. And you know, marriage is hard and marriage is tough, and we've always had just a very solid marriage, but this was just had some amazing principles that really helped us just to better our marriage and really and be able to use it in ministry as well. So you know, when you do something like that for that length of time, it really helps solidify where you've already gone and what your future is. So that was very fun.
How long have you guys been married now? I forget. 25 years. So you got married when you were 12, is that right? Okay, great.
Like
25 years. Come on, what? That's awesome. If you had to pick out one thing, one principle from that marriage, because that wasn't a small group. This was just a thing focused on marriage. What would be one principle that stuck out, and either one of you can answer that stuck out that you said, or that you think you've had to revisit time and time again,
right,
and mind the wealth of that principle?
Yeah. There's so many, but one would be if I could say two, one would be that I think marriage, and I shared this the day that a group of guys met on the Saturday morning at the breakfast, and I just mentioned in a statement, I was sitting next to Leo, and David was there, and a few guys, but marriage, I really believe, for men, and for women, certainly for men, based on Ephesians 5, that we're to love our wives as Christ loves the church, and gave himself up for her, it's really one of the greatest discipleship fields that there can be, that a relationship for a man to say, okay, I want to love her the way that Christ loves the church. So a lot of dying to flesh and to yourself, and that was a major principle that they drove home. And I really believe that. And I in counseling and just sharing with couples, and I've done a few marriage seminars, Carl and I have, and sharing some of the principles, that's one of the biggest ones, that for a man to realize this is probably the greatest arena for me to become more like Christ that there is, period. Because in the home is the real us. You know, we stand around in our underwear greeting each other in the home. You know what I'm saying? You don't do that at work or anywhere else. But the real you is at home. And many times, sadly, we will treat our spouses like you'd never treat anybody in the workplace, like you'd never treat anybody anywhere else, but in the home, because the real us, I think, comes out there, whereas many times we'll kind of, which is just the reverse. Really, it ought to be the one we cherish the most, we would treat with the most love and grace and forgiveness and everything that goes with it. But many times we'll do that for someone else more than even our own spouse. The other one is just they taught extensively on the human spirit. And you'll hear this peppered in messages here and there. But just go to the book of Proverbs as an example and read how many times you read the word heart or the word spirit and what it's talking about. And it describes an anxious heart, a wounded spirit, a happy heart. You know, and it's always descriptive of of where our emotions reside, the depth of us. And they taught extensively on that, and to understand that women tend to live there a lot more and guys tend to live here a lot more. And from here to there is like the longest, you know, 18 inches, they often say, in the whole world, is between our head and our heart. But women tend to, they tend to just experience and flesh out life down here. And we guys tend to do much more mechanically. They do much more emotionally and spiritually. And so they did a lot of teaching on that, which was, for a man, the stretch and the challenge for me to seek to understand and learn of Carla's heart and her spirit and what that look means. And when she says this, she really means this, even though she said this, but she really means this. And those kind of things. It's because it's a matter of tuning in more to her spirit than it is just to her words or the mechanical side of a man. So that's a little bit in a nutshell, but that was a really big principle.
Carla, is there one of those principles that you feel like Jeff ought to listen, go back and listen to? I'm just kidding.
All of them.
I'm just kidding. Certainly in 25 years of marriage and ministry and life, you've had some experiences that when you look back were difficult. And but as we go through those experiences at times, I feel like we can look back on those and they actually end up becoming an opportunity for us to grow in the Lord and become stronger as families, as couples, as individuals. And as you kind of reflect back, are there any experiences, because we all have those experiences here in this room, and of course we know that you do too, but if you kind of look back, are there some experiences that have sort of made you who you are, that have sort of been that thing that has sort of made you who you are in Christ, made you grow in Christ? Is there something that you guys have been through that that is like that, although certainly difficult, but has made you stronger?
Our family went through something about 3 years ago, and with one of our girls, and I'll be vague just to protect them, and it was one of the hardest things that we ever walked through together as a family, and some things had taken place in her life that we were unaware of, and she shared them, and it rocked our world, and I'll cry, so it's still very fresh for us, but it was a very difficult time for us, and as you grieve, and you know, you want to protect your kids, and then when you're in ministry and your life is a little bit of a fishbowl, you want to protect them even more. And so that really, we really had to come together as a family and decide that we were not going to allow that to defeat us or divide us or win, you know, and let the enemy win in that situation. So we really prayed together and had to be very vulnerable with each other and the Lord and allow ourselves to deal with it and be honest with the Lord about how we were feeling. And I think that was the biggest part, is that we allowed ourselves to be angry and sad and hurt and discouraged and all of those things, as long as we didn't allow ourselves to be stuck there. You know what I mean? And so let the Lord come in and heal our grief and help restore us through the process. And everybody deals with situations and grief differently. So there were times where he was up and I was really down, or he was really down and I was doing okay. And, you know, the same with the girls. And so you kind of had to learn and read each other of how that person was doing that day and how could you best minister to somebody like that. And sometimes it's saying nothing, you know, sometimes it's not trying to fix it, but just saying, I love you, and it's going to be okay. The Lord's going to carry us through. So that was huge for our family and still is today.
And Pastor Jeff, I don't know if you had any reflections on that moment too. And the reason for asking is because when we know people who go through circumstances like that, there's a way that sort of, you know what, I can relate to that, because Daisy and I have gone through things like that, and you know, I know several families that have, and those things make us stronger. And that was so good about being honest to the Lord. I know this experience of this transition, as we talked earlier today, has been has also been a difficult one, if we're just being honest. And I think earlier on when I said, hey, can anyone relate? I mean, that was intentional because we do want to relate and to pray and to strengthen you guys in prayer. And so having said that, what are some ways right now that we could pray for you? What are some ways that, you know, that we could pray for your family and support you guys right now?
Well, as a mom, your heart is always for your kids. So prayer for my girls, and they're each transitioning in their own way. You know, Aubrey going back into a new youth group and experiencing that for the first time of being the new person and not feeling connected, and just that process of with her, and you know, the insecurity of going to a new school and having to make new friends, and Michaela, she's our middle daughter, she's the one who lives here, and you know, she's just thrilled that we're here, and that's been really awesome. She's been away from home for 2 years now, so it's been really fun to be able to have her back in our home. So, but you know how it is, once you've moved out of your house, then to move back in is always a little bit of, can be a struggle, but she's done great. And, but we just told her right up front, if it doesn't work out and you just need more freedom, then, you know, that's fine too, because she's lived with different friends and stuff in the past. So, and then Whitney, as our oldest, she's our married daughter, and she's away from us for the very first time. And she did, you know, stints away for school for a year, and but always came back to Arizona and finished her schooling there. So, and we're very close, and she would pop in all the time for dinner and all those kind of things. So just for our kids really is our main focus right now, our main concern.
In our closing moments here tonight, I wanted to give you both a chance. Just, you've been here for 8 weeks now, 4 weeks, Pastor Jeff, you were alone, all alone, just to remind you of that moment. And for the past, I believe it's 4 weeks now, I think you've...
About 3 weeks
now. Carla and the girls have been here. And, you know, the first, you know, this sort of first couple of months is just so strategic for you to learn Central and for us to learn you, and thus the reason for tonight. But in our closing moments, I just wanted to give you both a chance just to maybe share what God's sort of speaking to your heart right now, and maybe what you'd like to just share with this group, this group of people in the community here tonight. And just wanted to give you both a chance to just sort of say whatever God's been putting on your heart.
For me, as we went through the process of coming to Central, I could see how our ministries would meld with Central. Just the multi-generational faceted aspect of the church and your outreach programs and a lot of those things. So I knew that I felt like we'd be a good fit for what God is already doing here. To be honest, I'm just kind of observing and learning and kind of excited to see what God has in store. I don't really have any expectations. I just want to be a part of what God's already doing here and see where that goes.
Yeah, I think for me, the because of Aubrey needing to finish out her school year, that gap, it was like a month or so, and I kept kind of jokingly acting like it was such a martyrdom. It wasn't that, you know, that huge of a deal, obviously, but I kind of had fun with it. But the fact is, I think on their end, really having knowledge of this from the end of March all the way to the middle of June, it just spread out the some of the grief and just on their end while I was here, then getting settled, getting focused and trying to learn my way and figure out the DNA of Central and still working on that. It was hard for me at times, a real excitement. I left New Community really excited that night, and then to call her and then to have to kind of temper that, knowing she's not feeling what I'm feeling. And then, you know, oh man, it was, you know, there were so many neat couples there, and I met a lot of really neat people. And so I think the longer that the gap, it was really important to get them here And Aubrey now is headed back. A family invited her for a week of vacation, and that'll be fine, but she just needs to get here and to get settled in for the school year. So anyway, I think that gap, if they could have been here sooner, would have probably made this process a little bit easier. And so really, you'll be 3 weeks Friday, I guess. And so it's still awfully fresh, and I have to go back to when I've been here 3 weeks, and now it's been, 8 weeks?
I will say, though, and I do want to clarify this for you guys. You all have been so gracious and so sweet and so positive and so encouraging and so sincere about praying for us. And the struggle was not coming to Central or coming to Springfield. The struggle was leaving Arizona. So I really want you to understand that my heart was and is grieving that I left home. It wouldn't have mattered where in the world the Lord took us. It still would have been a hard process. So I really want to thank you guys for being so sweet and so sincere. When you say that you're praying, I believe that you are, and I know that you are. And my church in Arizona knows that you're praying for them, and that means so much to all of our family. And even with Whitney, our oldest daughter, being here last Sunday, she just, you know, was so positive about the church and everybody that she met. And, you know, that means so much to us. So I really want to thank you guys for just being so sweet and genuine towards us.
And I think, too, as far as the staff, it's been great. Now, I can say when I was here before, I might have been here at that point about 3 weeks or so, I think. And now several more weeks have passed by, and I really think that Central has a great staff, from pastors and support administrative staff, and I see all the potential, and I look now, I can begin to cast some vision in my own heart, and in my eyes I can see what I think some things that God has for us. And still settling, and I know it's going to take some time. One of my mentors from Tucson, a very large church in Tucson, I guess probably second largest church in Arizona there, Zane called me just yesterday, matter of fact. He said, "How you feeling, and how's it going?" It was pretty early in the morning, and he said, "You know, Jeff, for me, they just built a new building." And he said, "We were like almost 9 months in the building," but he said, "It took me like 4 months in my own church environment into a new building just to get used to being in that pulpit." And he said, "I can only imagine what it's like." And I said, "You know, Zane, I'm feeling pretty comfortable, though. I really have felt pretty at home." Yet there is, it's just a weird thing. I don't know if any of you, those of you that have been in ministry, you definitely can understand and relate, but it's just it's a whole different environment, a whole different setting. And so there are some Sundays that I just, it's like, am I connecting? Am I reaching the target, you know, or not? But yet I have really felt very encouraged, and many of you have been great. People have emailed and called, and there's just been a lot of positive things. But you know, I know a vital thing is to honor the heritage here, and the we all share in a heritage that none of us had anything to do with, and we have to honor that of the past of Central Assembly and what it means. You know, it's like an institution in many ways, in a good way. And at the same time, we have to embrace today and say, "Lord, what do you want to do now and in the future?" And that's a real delicate, you know, a delicate balance. But I want us to honor our seniors. I want us to honor the generations before, and yet also realize the vitality in our future is in many of you that are in this room tonight and your children, you know. And so there's that incredible balance. If you were here the morning I spoke on generations, I really tried to speak to the old and to the young and everything in between, and we carry, I think, a huge responsibility as a multi-generational church, and I'm excited about that. I really like it. I really like the staff, except for Mike. I really like the staff. I'm just kidding. Actually, I like Mike so much that, how many of you heard my faux pas a week ago? Did you catch that? Oh, Lord. Anyway, it was a good one, but I've had two so far. Yeah.
You What's should that? Tell that one. That's
yeah,
a funny
that's great.
Story.
Well, you should come to Sunday night church because I told it that night. So those of you that were there, how many of you are at Sunday night and I shared it Sunday? There you go. So you all heard my story, but anyway. Yeah. Want me to tell the story, Mike?
Sure.
I used a fragment. You know, when you speak, you need to finish your sentence, put a period or like an exclamation point on it or whatever, question mark, whatever. But I fragmented. I just simply said that I was laying in bed this morning, and that's many times when the Lord really speaks to me, and I was thinking of something, and I stopped my sentence. I picked up a new sentence and said, and I leaned over to Pastor Mike and said to him, And I didn't catch it, but man, the text messages were flying at that moment. And oh my goodness, but what had happened is, this was in the 10:30 service, and in the 9 o'clock service that morning, I leaned over to Mike and said, Mike, this morning I just realized something. I was sharing with him that. So then in the 10:30, I thought I'd share it, and I said, you know, I was laying in bed, and I leaned over to Mike, and I connected the two, and they were hours apart. Could I hear an amen tonight? Okay. But anyway, but I would just say this. Are we closing then? Are we at that point of closing? What time is it? Man, that went awful fast. All right, we're done. That's amazing. But I would just say this is that one thing I believe that we really need to do is, and it can be seen in several ways, but there's obviously a perception, and we have so many seniors here at Central, which is awesome and wonderful. And I want to celebrate that, take care of them. They are a value. Aren't they a value, young generation? Amen. They're awesome, okay? By the same token, when they do so much of our hospitality, so much of our welcome mat ministry, as we called it at Red Mountain, it's really important, I think, that we let them continue to serve in the way they do. But it's almost like with our greeting, we could use a second layer of greeters, and they'd be in their 30s and 40s and 20s. You know, in college age, so that and even outside. And Laura Lee and I have talked about it. Laura Lee and I have talked about it a little bit, but how important it would be that we have both. That so it's we're a multi-generational church, but many that are doing some of those key areas of serving are all of our seniors. And so then that's what labels you at the front door. That's what labels you then. And we need both, so they realize this is a multi-generational. And another example would be several have said to me that are of the younger generation. Well, I'm like, where are you guys? Oh, we sit in the balcony. So then you realize it would be neat if some of the younger move down, because then you, honestly, though, you look and you survey, and a guest comes in, and they survey what's below, and if they don't realize what's above, then it's as if we are simply a church, and all we are 65 and older. Well, we're not. We've got all generations here at Central, and we need to have that be seen so the perception changes in the community. Does that make sense? So some of you... see at the greeting at the front door. Give Laura Lee a call and get involved. But
the first night when we did your interview, I had you pray for us, and I thought tonight with you, and actually I felt this that night, that whenever Carla gets here, we need to have you back and do the same thing together. And I thought tonight that it'd be our honor if we could pray for you tonight, and as our way of closing. And if you wouldn't mind standing with me. And we're going to have a word of prayer for Pastor Jeff and Carla. That's fine, just right here. Would you stretch your hands forward, please? Lord, we thank you so much for Pastor Jeff and Carla. We thank you for the gift that they are to Central, the gift that they are to the body of Christ. Lord, we pray right now. We start, Lord, with their home. I just pray a hedge of protection around their home. I pray, Lord, that ground would be a sacred sanctuary for them. Lord, I pray that it would be a place that they feel the joy of the Spirit of God in that place. I pray, O Lord, in the next upcoming weeks, Lord, as they're trying to get settled, we pray, O Lord, that you'd speed up that process. I pray, O Lord, that you'd give them a love, Lord, for their home, and a love, Lord, for the new memories that they're making here and the new friendships they're making, Lord. We pray for their girls, Lord. We pray for Aubrey. We ask you, Lord, that as she gets connected to a new group of friends in our student ministry and the new high school, we pray, oh Lord, that you'd allow her to grow closer with you, Lord, and that she would grow closer with others, Lord, and that friendship segue from Arizona to Springfield, Lord, would be an easy one for her, Lord. We just pray a great high school, her senior year, Lord. I just pray for a great time, Lord, in that. I pray for Michaela, Lord, as whatever future endeavor she sets her hands to, Lord, that you'd just bless her. And Lord, for Whitney and Caleb, Lord, their son-in-law, I just ask you, Lord, that the favor of the Lord would rest on them, Lord, even in Arizona right now as we pray, Lord. And God, I just pray for the vision that you're birthing within Pastor Jeff and Carla for this place. Lord, I pray that it would gestate into something powerful for our future. Lord, I pray that souls, Lord, would, that the Spirit of God is already working. And I just pray, oh Lord, that you'd speak clearly to us, Lord, as a church and through him. Lord, let him feel at home in our sanctuary here in the pulpit. We thank you for it. And we just pray, Lord, a blessing over their household, a blessing over their marriage. Keep them strong, keep them healthy. Lord, and I thank you for wonderful nights like this where we can get to know, Lord, the personal side, the authentic side of who they are. I thank you, Lord, for investments they've made into their marriage. Keep them strong, I pray, oh God. And help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be the people of God that you've called us to be, the men and women. I pray that we would step up. We would not stand on the sidelines and just spectate, but Lord, you'd help us to get involved, to get going, to get moving into what you're doing right now, Lord. We thank you for that. Help us, Lord, we pray. Bless Pastor Jeff and Carla and their girls, Lord, and their continued transition here. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we express our appreciation, Pastor Jeff and Carla? Thank you for being here tonight.
And two, if I could just say, I know I did this once, and many of you might have been here that night, and that night I really wish Carla could have been with me, but Mike, I love your vision for this, and it's a little awkward just to have a little interview about yourself, but this is it, so we're done with these, okay, we've done two now, but I think it's a neat idea, and at least to for you to, especially tonight, even get to just meet Carla, and so please shake our hands before we leave, but Mike, thank you. I just think this is a great forum, and I appreciate you giving us the opportunity.